One of the things that I did on this first service that I was teaching here was to share some points or some highlights of some of the prophecies given to this church. And I don't like to dwell so much. I think they're good as far as a direction for us to keep in mind. But it helps me to go back and look and see in regards to this topic on the glory of God. I want to start here first and share a few little excerpts from one prophecy given by Kenneth Copeland to this church. But it doesn't just pertain to this church only. He said it's to my church, you see. And he said this is one of them. And then we'll expand on that. But I wanted to start here today and highlight from this prophecy. And we're all believing together, are we not? And when it comes to the glory of God or the things of God, his presence, we have to believe him for that. You know, I'll say it this way, you know, the world, and I'll point this out in the Gospel of John, the world is today saying, well, I don't see God, you know, prove yourself to me. Well, God's already moved. God's already moved as far as what? Creation and redemption. We're the ones that have to move. Amen. He reveals himself in creation. That's what the scripture says. His creation reflects his glory. And so we're the ones that have to move. We're the ones that have to seek him. Yes, he reveals himself through the church, by his spirit, but we have to reach out to him. The creation doesn't tell the creator what to do. We're the created in his image, but we're to respond to him in faith and in love, right? That's our part. So let's join together in prayer today and come trusting and believing God that will, as we focus on this topic and meditate on it, that we'll grow thereby. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a good God, a God full of faithfulness. That is your character. And you are surrounded by your glory, your presence, your light, and love. And we thank you this day that you are here in our midst, helping us by your Spirit to see clearer into the Word of God so that we can grow and we can mature. But not only just that we know the Word of God, but we are doers thereof and we're obeyers thereof. We are disciples of Christ. Father, we thank you this day for this. Men everywhere, we thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest and you are sending laborers anointed and with your word to preach the gospel. We thank you, Father, for those that are in authority over this country, those that are in authority over our local government. And we lift them up, Father, and we ask that you give them wisdom and we ask that you give them understanding to make laws that will be just and right so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. That means in safety. That means peaceable. That means prospering in this natural realm. And we thank you, Father, that we've been seated in heavenly places with Christ, and we thank you that we've been placed not physically there, but in your position in your eyes, we've been given a place of authority. And we take up that authority and we command the devil now in the name of Jesus to desist from his interference in this government And we command you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, to stop in Jesus' name. We command the angels to go forth into our government and influence our leaders. Influence them to work together to make laws that are right and just. And we command the spirit of murder that has influenced these leaders, you will cease in Jesus' name. And we say, Jesus is Lord over this United States in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. The church needs to rise up and say, stop in the name of Jesus. Don't be lulled into a place of sleep. Hallelujah. So now let me, as we're starting here, we're just talking about the glory of God. And as I shared, this is a prophecy given to this church at the dedication service in the main sanctuary on September 15th. 1985, and I'm just going to pull out a sentence or two here or there. And I had read this before. But it has significance talking about the glory of God. It says, what are you doing in this small place? All my plans are big, saith the Lord. My plans are large, and the only way that it can eventually come to pass in the fullness of what I have planned is when the other churches and all of the believers begin to hook their lights together. That has some significance here. And then I'm going to skip down. It says, and he's talking to this church here, and you're going to get a revelation in this church of the unity of the body of Christ that very few walked in. And you're going to carry it, and you're going to walk in it, and people are going to call you all kinds of funny things. And he said, but one thing they're going to wind up saying, I'll tell you, them folks are strange, but they're getting everybody together. Then he went on and he said, and I'm going to shine all over this nation from this place. Now, you can say, well, I don't believe, I don't care whether you believe it or not. I believe what was spoken. And then he went down, I'm not going to share all this, but he said, for my love is the light that'll draw people. His love is the light that will draw people. And then he shared this. Again, as I said, I'm pulling out excerpts here. This is the word of the Spirit, and this is the purpose of the Spirit in raising this place up and bringing about a foundation that's laid on a rock and laid deep, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And my mighty power and my mighty Spirit will flow in this place in proportions that up until now have only been the wildest, fondest dreams all found in the corners of people's thinking. But I'm going to bring it to pass, saith God. If you'll walk upright before me and keep this place pure, keep it pure on the word, keep it pure financially, and keep it pure sexually, I will cause this place to shine so bright with the same light that caused Saul of Tarsus to fall on his face and say, what is it, Lord? And they'll come from miles around. Now, this is where I was leading up to, and I thought this was significant. For when they come in this place, and when they set foot on this ground, they'll know that they are in a holy place. See? And I thought that was significant because we're talking about the glory of God. And then he said, my hour has come, saith the Lord, and I'm going to do it here if you'll let me, bigger if you let me. He said, my plans are so big that if I told you what they are and showed you a picture of it, you couldn't believe it, you couldn't describe it, and you'd say, not so, Lord, that can't even be. But this is a church that is going to be held responsible for being a mighty church, a church not only just with the power of God, but a revelation and a manifestation of his mighty power. So as I said, I just pulled some things out because it's a very long prophecy, but there's parts of it that help us. Now, if you would, turn over to John chapter 14, and starting in verse 15. And you know, when we read prophecy, the scripture in 2 Peter 1:19 says we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. So we have the word of God, which is a more sure word of prophecy to help us, and we're to take heed to that. But John 14, starting in verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Say, manifest myself to him. This is what the scripture is saying. So those that keep his commandments, they have his commandments and keep them, are those that do what? They obey them. They do them or obey them. Why? Because we love him. So when he manifests himself to us, another way you could say is that he's manifesting what? His love to us. For God is love. So if he manifests himself to us, he's manifesting his love to us. And if we love him, then we'll keep his commandments. Now, let's take a look at, I guess there's another thought here, is that when he said he'll manifest himself to us, do we believe that? You see, that to me is exciting when you meditate on that. He said, if you do my commandments, I will manifest myself to you. So we have a part. If God says, I will do this, we have to do what? We have to believe that. We have to accept that word and believe it, that he will. So when you look at this, look at John 14, the next verse. Look at verse 22. Judas saith unto him, this is a good question here. Because this question, this question's going on today, right? Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? That's a good question. And he answered it, didn't he? He told them, they don't know his spirit. I mean, what did he say in verse 15? Even the spirit of truth, whom the world, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, because it what? Seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. So you can see here in verse 21, what did he say? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that what? Loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Let me read this scripture to you. Say manifestation.
Manifestation.
So if you say manifest, you could say manifestation. The scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit is given not just to a few, not just to some. It says it's given to every man to profit withal. The basic translation, it says, but to every man, some form of the Spirit's working is given for the common good. Well, we know that from 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about the different manifestations of the Spirit to benefit everyone. Isn't that not true? Romans 12, 6, it says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone. But what is one of the requirements? It said that those that have his commandments must do them. That's a requirement. That's a command, isn't it? So, faith, and when we're talking about faith here, where we're talking about the glory of God, the manifestation of the Spirit, faith without works is what?
Dead.
So you've got to come, you've got to believe that, you've got to come in faith. That, what does that mean? I'm convinced of something. I'm expecting it. I'm expecting the manifestation of the Spirit. I'm expecting that. I like this. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, for just as a human body without a spirit is lifeless, so also faith is lifeless if it is unaccompanied by obedience. Boy, that's that means your faith is lifeless if it's unaccompanied by no obedience. So living faith acts. You got to act on what you believe. So this word manifest, when Jesus said that I will manifest myself to them or to you, this word manifest means to show oneself. It means to make known. He's making known himself. He's disclosing himself. He's revealing himself to us if we do what? Keep his commandments. That's what that word manifest means. So now let's look at what, when he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Let's look at what his commandment is. See, we're all talking about the glory of God here. We get excited about hearing, oh, the glory of God. Let's look at what Jesus said. Let's look at John 13 and verse 34 and 35. We all know it. Most of us do. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you what? Also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Look at John 15, starting in verse 8. John 15. Starting in verse 8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." Isn't that interesting? "Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Look at verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So those that have his commandment and keep them, he said, he will manifest himself to us. Make himself plain, make himself known. The Amplified of this translation, it says, "The person who has my commands," this is John 14, 21 in the Amplified, it says, "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself," this is what the Amplified says, "I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." Isn't that good? I like that. I'm expecting him to make himself real to me. Real to me. How about you? I am. So do we have a desire that is, do we have any desire that's greater than that? And that ought to be, what does the scripture say? Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. So our desire ought to be that he manifest, that he make himself so real to us. And you know, any person that's being used of God, you know, we can go back and look at people in history and see how they were used of God. They had a hunger and a desire. It started here. I want to know more of God. I want him to reveal himself to me in a greater measure, in a greater way. So it started with that desire. But isn't this, you know, isn't it interesting, you know, when we talk about God manifesting himself, making himself real to us, sometimes, you know, when we think about it, meditate on it, almost sounds like heaven, doesn't it? Yeah. That we get to heaven, we don't see through a glass darkly. We see him. He's revealed to us, right? But we don't have to wait. He said, "I'll do it now. I'll make myself real to you." Plain, right? Isn't that exciting? Yes. What is Psalm 34? It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And this is the kind of what I call the coda at the end. What does it say? Blessed, it's in the same verse. Blessed is the man that what? Trusteth in him. That mean? That means they're seeking him. Hallelujah. So how can you tell when somebody really loves God? They obey him. They obey him. They obey his commands. Now, you know, this is when we talk about the glory of God and him manifesting himself to us. In order for you to keep his commands, you need his help, don't you? And we can go and we can read in the book of Ephesians, when we are expected and commanded to keep the love walk in this flesh, it's not easy. And we need his help to do that. He didn't leave us helpless. What did he say? And that's John 14. He said, I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm sending you a what? A helper. Thank God. Because without him, we would be helpless. We wouldn't be able to keep his commandments. We wouldn't be able to walk in love. We wouldn't be able to see into the word of God, the truth of the word. He didn't leave us here helpless. He sent his spirit. He sent the Holy Ghost. He sent the spirit of truth to help us. Thank God. Hallelujah. Here's another verse, John 3. And you know this scripture in John 3, starting verse 16 and 17 and 18. But I wanted to look at verse 21, and I wanted to read it in the Amplified, talking about obeying his commands and doing his work. It says, but he who practices, this is the Amplified in John 3:21. It says, but he who practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to see to be what they are, wrought with God. This is what I like here. Divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence on him. See, we can't do this. We can't even come out and do his works unless we're divinely prompted and helped. See? And when you don't get that, what? You don't walk in the light. You're not. You can't keep his commandments. You try, but you can't. See? So this is the word of God. So if you love God, you put him first. You seek him with all of your heart. You want his help. Right? So that we can keep his commandments, so that he will manifest himself to us. That's what we want. Right? Glory to God. So Hebrews 11:6, we're familiar with that scripture. It just talks about he that cometh unto God must believe that he is. Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please him. So even in keeping his commandments, it's got to be done in faith and love, and we need his help. And when we do, he helps us, and he manifests himself to us. Glory to God. So the Spirit of God will help us if we seek him. Glory to God. Now, let's turn over to John. We're in John. Turn over to chapter 11, talking about the glory of God. And let's look at this account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And in the King James, in verse 40, just looking at this particular verse here, he's speaking to Martha. He said, Jesus saith unto her, he's talking to Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? What do we need to do? Believe. If thou wouldst believe, thou should what? See the glory of God. Let me read this from the Amplified. It said, Jesus said unto her, did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God? The Living Bible says, but didn't I tell you that you will see a wonderful miracle from God if you believe? So the question that I ask is, does our faith have anything to do with the manifestation of the glory of God. Absolutely. Our faith has everything to do with it. So it's conditional. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how is our faith going to increase regarding the glory of God? By meditating on it, feeding on it, and expecting it to manifest, expecting it to be. So one of the things that I'm excited about, and the reason I read that prophecy at the beginning, is because God said, I'm going to do that here if you'll let me. So when we come together, when we assemble, I know we come to, you know, meetings like this. We come together for prayer meetings at noontime on Wednesday. We come together for corporate prayer on Friday nights. We need to come, what? Believing for the manifestation of the Spirit in those settings. We need to come, what? Not just to pray, but expecting that He will work through us and manifest Himself to us. Not just come, oh, well, we're going to pray again. No, we're coming expecting and believing that He will manifest Himself. No different than this meeting. Isn't that not right? That we need to come expecting. To do what? To let the Spirit of God manifest Himself so that we come together, when we come together in prayer, we're praying that the plans of God, we're praying in the plans of God, the will of God in this earth. And we're also praying to stop the strategies of the devil. Amen. Because we can see that going on now. He's just stirring up stuff. People just want to complain about it. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. You know, and when we get a greater understanding of that, now I'm beginning to understand more clearly why God holds the church accountable. Because He's given us dominion and authority over who? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, strategies, all of these things. He's given the church dominion over it. We need not to complain about it. We need to come together. And this is what this prophecy says. He said, when I come, he said, I'm going to, he said, the manifestation in a greater measure is going to come by the church hooking its lights together. That's what God said. He said, this is the purpose of the Spirit in raising this place up. That you're going to get a greater revelation in the unity of the body of Christ. For what purpose? To help pray in the plans of God. To help the Spirit of God manifest Himself through people, a group of people that will come together so God can work through. Not just bicker and complain and whine. No, to work through that He can manifest His power and His glory. That people can see God. I'm telling you. That's the reason. And that's what He said. That was the purpose of the Spirit in raising this place up. Amen. Glory to God. So we need to take that seriously. So when you see in John 11, when you see this account, in the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, they didn't see a pillar of fire. They didn't see a cloud. But they saw a manifestation of the glory of God in what? The raising of somebody from the dead. So they didn't see something with their eyes. They saw a dead body raised. That was the glory of God. That's no different today. When we see somebody delivered from drugs, when we see someone healed in their body, when we see somebody's marriage turn around, when we see somebody get more prosperous than they were before. That is a manifestation of the glory of God. That's what God is trying to do, to get the church hooked together so that he can shine brighter through. It's not going to be through one or two or three. It's going to be as we come together in unity. Amen. Glory to God. So now here you can see that even in the book of Acts, whole cities came to Christ because of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. You saw whole areas. And that goes on today. You can see that. Maybe not so much in this area, but you'll see it overseas. Now let's take a look. I want to do something here. Let's take a look at quickly. We'll go over to the book of Numbers. And just a few scripture verses here. Numbers 14 and verse 21. Numbers 14, chapter 14 and verse 21. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 21. It says, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God." Does it say shall? It says shall. It doesn't matter whether you think it or not. He said it shall be. Psalm 72, 19, it says, "And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory." Amen and amen. Amen. Habakkuk. May have to go to the index for that. Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you want to say it. Chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Wow. Now you think about how much water that is. Think about the water that covers the seas. That's a lot of water. And he's saying, as the water covers the sea, so shall the earth be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now, we may not understand that, but we need to do what? Receive it and believe it. And what? When we believe that, we expect it. So that when we come together, we're expecting a manifestation of the glory of God. What does that mean? He's making himself and revealing himself to us in that setting in a greater way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's, one more scripture. You can turn over to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. And I'll read this as you're doing that. This is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. You can get to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 15. Isaiah 40, verse 5, it says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Now, Exodus 24, this is a great account here. Starting in verse 15, it says, "And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now, it didn't say it was a devouring fire. It said it was like a devouring fire. You know, I remember he's been here, and he's down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, a Bishop J.C. Hash. He went to Rhema, and he's had a wonderful ministry. I think a deacon couple from this church went down there. But he had the fire department show up there, and somebody called in and said, "Your building's on fire." I'm serious. And they called the fire department, and they saw it. They saw the fire. And when they went in, they said, "It looks like fire, but it's not." It was the glory of God. So we have accounts. I mean, there's many others, but they actually, somebody saw it and called the fire department and said, "Your building's on fire." And so they rushed, and again, as I said, the fire department saw it, said, "It's fire, but it ain't fire." They didn't know what it was. See, but they saw the glory of God. And I believe those manifestations are not, they may be for us if God desires that, but we walk by faith and not by sight. I think a lot of times these manifestations are more for the world's sake than for us. Not to say he doesn't or won't, but we walk by faith. And there are going to be manifestations of that. And I believe in a greater measure. And so you can see here that Moses was enveloped in the glory of God for how many days? A few days here. What does it say? It says in the cloud covered for 6 days. He was up there for longer than that. And so here, let's jump over to Exodus chapter 33. And look at verse 8. So here he's going into the tabernacle, and it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. So you can see here that when he went into the temple, into the tabernacle, that the manifestation of the glory of God was there. But you can also see another thing. What happened? The people began to worship. And so you can see here that when the presence of God manifested, that it was connected together with reverence. You can see that here. They began to worship. There was reverence there. So this manifestation of the glory of God and reverence go together. You can see that. And anybody here that's been in a setting where The presence of God has come into the room corporately, or could just affect you individually. Don't you stop and worship, and there's reverence, there's awe in that setting. Absolutely. So we can see that. And verse 11, let's continue here in this chapter. In verse 11, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said," this is Moses now saying, "And he said, And my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Hallelujah. So we can see here that when the presence of the Lord is manifested, there's peace. There's peace. There is comfort. When we have the manifestation of who? The Comforter. And there's comfort. And also, you could say, when there's wrong spirits, they have to depart. They have to depart. So people, even here, people ought to be able to come into a service where the manifestation of the Spirit is, and wrong spirits, anxiety, agitation should leave. And there should be a sense of peace and comfort. Why? Because of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. We can come together, and corporately we believe for that type of setting. We expect it. And that's why when we talk about the manifestation of the Spirit of God, yes, he's making himself plain, but you can see also that the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the Spirit, is also tangible. It'll get on your clothes. It'll be in you, and not only in you, but upon you. And you can see in that prophecy that Brother Copeland gave back in 1985, he said about the people, "For when they come in this place, and when they set foot on this ground, they'll know that they are in a holy place." How is that? The manifestation of the Spirit of God. That when they walk in, they'll know there's something holy here. And you know, that's no different with you. You are the temple of the Most High God. His glory resides in you. So that when you are following God and seeking God, his Spirit will do what? Manifest himself in and through you. So when you walk in somewhere, how many have ever been there? People go, "I don't know what it is about you, but there's something about you." Now, they may not like it. And you're wondering, where did all of this stuff come from? Where did all of this angst come against me? It's the glory of God. It's the presence of God. What do we just got done reading? Those that don't want to come out into the light because they don't want their deeds shown or to be known. Well, the presence of God, the manifestation of the Spirit through you, can make people feel uncomfortable. That's what this is. And as we grow more in it, how many have read accounts? Some of you have, maybe some of you haven't. But when you read about some of the earlier pioneers, they would walk down, you know, when you read about George Whitefield and you read about some of these people in the early years, 1800s, they would walk in a ship, they'd walk down a train, and people would just be convicted. How is that? That's the manifestation of the Spirit of God in you and through you. And we ought to be believing God for more of that in our lives and expecting it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now here, look at verse, let me just continue here. Look in verse 15. We're still in Exodus 33. And Moses is saying, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He's like, if you ain't going with me, forget about it. Or they say, forget about it. Right? Verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? He's asking a question. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. There needs to be, what he's saying here. Said, I and thy people, from isn't there something different about us? We are separate from the world. So this is what distinguishes us. Amen. What distinguishes us from other cult religions and other people? What is it? The living presence, the glory of God that resides in you. That's what distinguishes you. The resurrection life, the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It dwells in you. That's what makes us different. Hallelujah. And that's what he's saying right here. I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth, we're separate. Hallelujah. And then verse 17. He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then what did Moses say? And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. So we all desire to see more of his glory. Now, he may show you, you know, again, the gifts of the Spirit. He has to reveal or open your eyes to see into the spirit realm. But for us, we walk by faith and not by sight. If we never see it, when we see somebody saved, we've just seen the glory of God manifested. When we see somebody delivered, we've just seen a manifestation of the glory of God. Hallelujah. I think that's exciting. So as we come together, as we, you know, going forward, when we come together, expect to see more of his glory. Expect it. Desire it. I do. But it's all conditional, isn't it? He said, he that hath my commandments, you got to not only hear them, but do what? Do them. Which means what? You got to walk in love. And that's what Brother Copeland was saying in there, that God will do more when we connect together. We connect together. And you're only going to be able to connect together if you operate and walk in love. That's how you go and do it. Isn't that so? Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. There's something afoot, and God is looking to work in a greater measure through us this year. as we come together. And I'll tell you, I just encourage you, if, you know, come out on prayer time, make some time for prayer. If you know, and I just always say it this way, look, if you can't come every Friday, pick a Friday. And there may be circumstances in your life. We understand that. But you know what? You know, anything that we place above Him being first place is out of place. And so He's first. That doesn't mean we're neglectful, but anytime we place our job, anytime we place our spouse, anytime we place our children above God and the things of God, it's out of place. Doesn't mean we're not responsible. Doesn't mean that we're not managing those properly, but He's first. And then when He's first, everything else works. And sometimes we're looking for His help in our lives. It's looking for what? The manifestation of His glory to help us, to energize us, to quicken us to do those things we need to do. Right? When you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you know what to do, you've just experienced a manifestation of the glory of God. We need not take it lightly or look through and say, oh, praise the Lord. No, we've just experienced His glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your glory. Thank You for working in us in a greater measure. Father, we desire and we hunger and thirst for more of Your presence. And Father, if we've missed it in our lives and we haven't been diligent to keep Your commandments, we repent and we ask for forgiveness. And Father, we ask that You cleanse us from unrighteousness. And we thank You for Your glory and Your assistance and Your help. Thank You for using this ministry. Thank You for shining through this ministry. And we thank You, Father, and we, as You've said, are going to be held responsible for the revelation that You've given us. So, Father, we don't take that lightly. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. You know, when I think about certain areas, you know, when you think about certain areas in this country, you know, whenever you talk about Tulsa area, you have major ministries that have been in that area for 50, 60 more years. And more than that, there's been prayer that has gone forth. That prayer has allowed God to manifest Himself and push back darkness that's gripped or maybe was gripped in that area. I believe the same thing can happen over New York City, over areas of this country that seem to have a grip. The only person that can ungrip it and push it back is His power. And if we come together, see, I believe is what the Lord's saying. It's not just going to be one church. It's when we all hook our lights together that in and of itself, the unity of the body is going to stand up and command some things to change. Take the grip off of society that's hindered people, hindered the gospel. Now we see some other manifestation of something in this a state that's ungodly. It's murder. And the only way that changes is if the body of Christ steps up and says, no. And it's collective. It's not, well, I think this, or I think there's no unity. And God's got to have unity in the body in order for him to start putting some stops to things. Amen. So we're going to see the change. We're going to see the change in this area. We're going to see the change in this country. We're going to see the change in this state, New York City, and everywhere else. We're going to see a change because what? Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. He's not just my Savior. He's my Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.